Well, Queens, as you can see, if you're watching the video, this is my best friend Lottie. I'm going to let you introduce yourself in a moment.
Thank you.
But she's all weird about this because I speak to myself all day, every day on video and clients, not just myself. And I asked Lottie to be on the podcast because we have epic conversations.
We do.
And we had a serious epic conversation a few months ago. We wanted to record it. But before I let her introduce herself, I don't know where to look at you. At Lottie, I'm going to look at your listeners first. I just want to say, Lottie, and this is to you are such a special part of my life, a big light. When I first moved here and everything was foreign and the stupid language, I don't think it's stupid anymore. Everything was so different, and you were just such a light, and you just made me feel at home because of your silliness and who you are. So, in front of thousands of people, I love you and thank you for our friendship.
I love you too. Big told me to not talk.
No,
So
you're allowed to talk.
I'm not saying anything.
Lottie, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. I'm Lottie. Fick calls me Lottie, but I'm from Holland. And in Holland, we say Lotte. I
Yeah,
think I'll look to
Lotte.
you from the screen. Can we do
Okay,
that?
yeah, we can do
That's
that.
maybe
And look
less
at,
weird.
yeah,
Okay.
let's bring you
So I'm
closer,
Lotte
please.
from Holland. I'm 31 years old, having a child, Mara. I wanted to say baby, but she's not a baby anymore.
She's one already,
In
right?
February, she's going to be two.
Oh,
It's her
two in
birthday already in
February.
February.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I want to say a husband. I have a relationship with Lionel. That's an
Practically
English
a
name.
husband.
Practically husband. From
Practically.
12 years.
Yeah, it's a long
Relationship
time.
from 12 years. Yeah. And I'm a mental health nurse for youth.
Oh yeah, youth. I
Youth.
didn't actually, I obviously knew you were a mental health nurse, but I didn't actually know the name of what you
Yes.
worked for.
I
Youth.
think we call them mental health nurse in
Yeah, but I
England.
meant the youth, the name of the company, youth, which makes sense
Yeah.
because it's young people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
cool.
you think about it now. Yeah.
And think about now.
That's
And you
fine.
always say I'm old. How old are you again? 31, did you just say?
31. Yeah.
36 over here.
Maybe I need to tell them how we met, how I met the crannies.
Please tell the story of how we met, and then we're going to guide the conversation into
Okay.
other stuff. But yeah, because
Let's
it's
do it.
really
You
important and
need to
funny how
start
we
because
met.
you came.
Okay, how we started was I've been in Holland for, I'm just going to say Holland instead of the Netherlands because it's easier for my
Oh.
tongue for some reason to say Holland, not the Netherlands. Anyway,
Is that American too, the
no, well,
Netherlands?
she speaks American English, and which is fine because I have a lot of American listeners, but she wants to speak English and she's saying things like sidewalk, line, what was it?
The car.
Oh yeah, the highway. And that's not English, which is totally fine. So I take the piss out of her saying she speaks like half Dutch, half English, and half
How did we
American.
call it last
It
time?
was something,
America, me.
it was like, it was like, I don't even know what we said. We spent ages trying to make up a name. And you'll probably find that funny.
No.
Twingles, American,
Amerilinglish.
Ameringles,
American.
whatever, with
Okay.
Holland in there as well.
Yeah.
So I moved here, and for some reason, I felt like I wanted to start gymnastics again, following my intuition. Because I used to do gymnastics when I was younger. Most of my listeners probably know that. And I actually went to gymnastics with a friend who I met through my now husband, Wouter. I'd not known her for very long, but she said, "Oh, I go to this gymnastic place, come with me." And she was like my only friend over here. So I went to this gymnastic place with a hole in my leggings, and I didn't realize I had a hole in my leggings till I got there. And
Sorry.
I don't wear pants with my leggings, which is probably FYI, but there was a hole like on the crotch area because this is part of the story. And then I got to the gymnastic place and met Lottie, Lotte, but I call her Lottie. And we literally just clicked, didn't we?
I saw you coming inside,
Yeah.
and you were like, "Hi, I'm Victoria. I've got a hole in my leggings. I know I'm fine, but here I am." And I was like, "Oh, I
She's
like
different.
her. She's bubbly." And you were like all sassy and doing your things. And you were always there. And I thought, like, I need to be friends with her. I never have that with
She's literally
someone.
stalked me
Yeah.
on
And I was
Facebook.
like, "Ooh, I need to find her on Facebook.
No,
I think I had a girl crush on you."
I'll take that.
Yes. And I checked your Facebook, and then you were like texting me all out of nothing, like, "Oh, we need to meet." And in Holland, we're not that easy.
Oh, I'm just forward,
We're like, we don't,
pussyfooting around. I
yeah.
thought you were direct in Holland. I thought you were quite like direct.
Not with meeting people, I think.
Just with insulting people.
You are always like, oh yeah, my friend is working there and there. And I'm like, who's your friend then? Oh yeah, she's just working in the shop.
Just someone who I met one time.
Yeah, just someone who I see once in a year, and that's my friend. And I'm always like, oh, is that a friend then?
I'm probably
but that's English, right?
Yeah, English people tend to be very open.
Yeah.
I am also
everyone is your friend. In Holland, no one is your friend.
No.
Except when you meet like
and you want to be friends.
Yeah, and you want to be friends.
So we met up, didn't we? And then I stopped gymnastics because I believe the universe led me to gymnastics, literally so I could meet you, honestly. And we've been, I would say, inseparable. We're not in a codependent relationship, but we've been inseparable ever since. And as you can tell through this conversation, she's totally my vibe. We're silly, we're bubbly, but we also really have deep, serious conversations.
Yeah. That was hard in the beginning because I wasn't that good in English, but Vic taught me a lot.
I think she was really good in English. I mean, yes, you've got better, but you were way better than Walter. Let's be honest.
Okay, but yeah, I think I was awkward. That's the thing.
You see, I didn't see that from you. One of the things I still love about you is your confidence to just do it anyway, and like, so what?
True.
And just show up and do it anyway, and that reflects back to me and gives me permission in a way.
And you just tell me when I'm not saying the right thing, and you're not like,
No, why would I, like, that's mean. Why would you do that?
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, it's only one word you kept getting the opposite, and that was learning instead of teaching.
Yes, and teaching. That's still hard for me.
Yeah, so you teach somebody, but then you learn
from it,
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's amazing in English, right? So the point of this idea for the podcast was menstrual cycles, really.
We're talking about hormones today, aren't
we? Yeah. Because we were sat last month before I went on holiday, and either you were just coming on your period or I was, and we talk a lot and we were joking, well, not joking, but being serious, like, what, 4 days before the period, I'm 8 days before, so in 4 days it's gonna all change.
It's 4 days before
it's
for
like
me
4 days before. And I was describing to Lottie that 4 days before, like, I feel this underlying anxiety and I need to do something drastic, like hire a coach for thousands of euros, like change something, buy something, do something drastic. And I have like, I need to bring all of my body image work and all of my body image tools out of my belt, because for some reason I feel like I'm 10 times the size that I am. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm accepting myself, but I know it's a massive change. And then you shared what you experience.
I always want to, I'm 4 days before now, so I always want to move to Bali and have a whole different life. I want to quit my job. Nothing wrong with my job. I love it. I want to quit my job. I want to quit my relationship. I'm sorry, Lino, I love you. It's only a week, a month.
Yeah.
I want to quit everything, like just everything. Sometimes I even want to quit my life. I just want to quit everything.
Yeah.
I need to say, now I have Mara, I'm more stable because I just can't quit everything right now anymore. So I think rationally, I know that I can't change anything right now. And I don't want to, but I just want to change my whole life.
You have those feelings, and you mentioned anxiety too.
Yeah.
You mentioned the anxiety and the intrusive thoughts are more present for you 4 days before.
Oh my God, the intrusive thoughts are so bad and so weird. And do you even have that sometimes? Like when you're on the high road.
Yeah, and you're like, what if I just do this and I'm dead? Bye.
Yes.
I do.
And you don't even want it.
No, but you think about it.
That's how our mind works.
It is. But I want to speak to this because it's the majority, I think 99% of my listeners are women.
Yes.
And not everyone will have a period without the pill. And that's also okay because the pill is, I don't want to say not a real period because that sounds really, I don't know, it's not the right words to use. But as we know, taking the pill is synthetic hormones and it affects your body in a different way. And when I used to be on the pill, I had to change pills because I kept having a headache and problems, and I found a pill that I didn't take a break from, so I never had a period.
Yes.
And so when I did come off the pill, oh my God.
It was all in one?
It just, hormones hit you and you're almost like, oh, fuck this. I don't want to be a woman in a way.
No.
because 4 days before, I'm like a different person. I'm agitated and I'm annoyed. I'm tired.
Yes.
And I just like, I'm like, meh.
Do you know there's a name for that? It's called PMS.
PMS, yeah. Yes.
There's PMS. 25% of the persons, women, yeah, have PMS.
Oh, I thought it would be higher than that.
I think it's a
25%.
One out of four. That's a lot.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I definitely get it.
I am too.
And people say, like, experts say that if you have strong PMS symptoms, there's something not aligned emotionally or physically. And I don't know if that's right, if that's correct or not, but I think I feel really healthy, happy. I'm working through my emotions. I'm working on myself. And I still really notice a difference. So I really also think it can just be the way we are.
I think women are just different from men also. So our hormones are just different because we are like doing this all month and then our menstruation is coming and we're like, we're like so crazy. And men are like,
I wouldn't really be stable. A man though.
I think it's also like, we're women, and it's like how we are. It makes us bubbly. It makes us emotional. It makes us connected. Yeah, and connected.
Like deeply connected. Because I remember when, going off the bat a little bit, when I came and when you first had Mara, her daughter, and you were breastfeeding and you were obviously just allowing me to just be with you in the space when you were doing it. And I was just like watching, like it was such a beautiful experience, such a natural, raw, real experience. And the closeness and connectedness, even though I haven't got children, it's like, I feel a bit emotional for some reason. It's just such an indescribable feeling that I don't know, because I'm not a man, but I don't know if men could ever really feel that deep connection to another man. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, as women, it goes from past generational trauma, ancestral trauma, like there's such a connectedness that, I mean, I'm even going to talk about the witch wound now, like hundreds, and Lottie is seriously rolls her eyes when I do stuff like this, so let's see what happens. Hundreds of years ago, women used to sit around the fire and like bleed together because everyone's periods synced up.
Bleed together?
Like have a period together. Okay. And their periods would sync up and they would be like sisters. And then as the modern world has come into play, we are taught to see all the women as like threats. Like, oh, yes. I want the man, she, like almost like competition. And so we've separated from the true essence of sisterhood, I think. So I think now, especially in my world, because I'm creating it, like we're coming back into celebrating other women and not seeing them as competition. Like, what do you think about that without you being into that, the stuff that I'm into? Did any of that made sense? Or do you relate to any of it?
Do you mean the part like sitting together and
or
like
just
being
coming
competition?
Because, you know, like at school, I know it's an age thing. Did you experience like bitchiness and
oh my god,
like cattiness?
But
like,
I was
so
one of
much
them.
Of that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Was as well.
I really was a bitch, but I think it was because I was so insecure.
Yeah,
I was so scared of people bullying me. I was not bullying anyone, but I was like being very arrogant, like not about myself, but my look.
Yeah,
like don't touch me.
Yeah, like. Leave me alone, I've got this.
Yes. And protection. Then at one point, one friend who was not in my school told me about someone she knew. And that person was like, oh, Lottie, she's very weird and mad. She's such a mad person. And I was like, I don't want people to see me like that. And that day, I was totally different.
Wow. Because you were trying to protect yourself from...
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I mean, school is such a difficult time, isn't it?
Everyone was so bitchy on school. That's so not normal. But I think it's the age too.
It is the age, you're right. And also, as we do get older, I still think... I used to, anyway, see women as competition. So I would... And this is probably linked to the eating disorder as well. I would look at women on a movie... like and be so angry that she was this perfect woman, and I was watching it with my boyfriend and I was like, how dare he be watching this perfect woman? And I would feel so much anger and hatred towards her beauty, whereas now I look at women on movies or whatever and I can appreciate and acknowledge their beauty without taking anything away from myself and who I am. And I guess that's part of self-healing, isn't it? How do you feel when, because I know you've been on your own healing journey, and I want to talk about anxiety in a moment, but what, how do you resonate with
I think that? Women need to support women. On example, when someone is breaking a relationship with some men because they had sex, and like,
as in someone's cheated,
yes, and they need to break up because of that, how mad would the woman be at the other woman? But
it's the man.
I think it's the man, and woman needs to support woman. Yeah. So don't do that to anyone.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Be like, think about that before. Like, we need to be there for each other and need to be a pact. So
yeah, like sisterhood.
Yes,
I really feel that too. So, bit of homework for you listeners, and for you, and for me, because I do this quite often. Homework is today or tomorrow, depending on where you are in the world listening to this, go up to another woman, another sister, I like to say, and compliment her somehow. Because I love to do that. Like,
yes, you always do that.
And you've been with me when I've done that, right? Because, and was I with, oh, it wasn't with you, I was with someone else. I was in the cinema and I had a red jumpsuit on, and a random woman came up to me and was like, your jumpsuit is fire. And I was like, oh,
so sweet.
And it's just so nice. So that homework,
yes,
all of
do
us,
that. I did that a couple of weeks ago. A woman was working behind the desk. She looked insecure, but she had the best makeup ever. Like, she was young, and she really tried to make her eyes look very bright. And she did it with a lot of green makeup. And of course, makeup can be a distraction from everything. But she looked so stunning. So I told her, like, oh, I love your makeup. And she was like, oh, thank you. And
it can mean so much.
I think it can mean so much. Yeah.
So let's start celebrating all the women and supporting all the women. And now I want to talk about, now we're on menstrual cycle, actually. Can we go into the, we call it the coil in England, but you call it the spiral.
Yes.
And how you noticed a massive difference with your anxiety. Can you just talk about that?
I still need to process this, because I still don't want to believe that what I think is true, but maybe other people recognize this and we can share. But 10 years ago, no, I'm not 28 anymore.
Yeah, I'm 31 now.
13 years ago, I had the Mirena spiral.
Yeah, so that's the coil with hormones.
With hormones. You've got Kilena, we call it Kilena, and the Mirena. I think it's a common name.
Okay.
So I think people recognize this. And so I got that. I was always anxious. I'm an anxious person. I don't know where it's from. I think it's from my family. Everyone has it. And I got my spiral, and out of nothing, I kept on having panic attacks like 24/7, like out of nothing, because of nothing, from every thought. And that's when I started therapy. Yes, that's where I started therapy. And that helped a lot. But I always had like a anxious base.
Yeah.
I had therapy again, I think, when I was 23 or something. So it was always there. I kept on having the Mirena spiral because no one told me anything about that. And it was less hormones than a pill. I couldn't cope with the pill. So that was better than nothing. Better than being pregnant at your 20s.
Although I do use an app now, by the way.
Yeah, we need to talk about that too.
About that.
We're thinking a bit different about that. So
yeah,
that's funny. But when I took my spiral out, I think I was 28, 29. Yeah, before I got Mara, and she's two now. Yeah. I saw online research about people who are more anxious with a spiral. And I was like, no. So I forgot about that. I got my spiral out. I went on holiday. And normally on holidays, I'm always anxious. Like, it's just there. Always when
you
we're...
You can't eat or anything.
Always
ages,
when we're eating,
you?
I'm anxious. Always when we're going somewhere, I'm anxious. Always when we're going into the plane, I'm anxious. I'm just always anxious. And that holiday, nothing happened. Nothing. Really nothing. And I was like, what the
when
fuck
did you
is
notice
going on?
Like in the moment when it wasn't happening, like, or did, was it a reflection where you were like, oh wow, or was it
no,
in the moment?
I asked Lionel, like, why aren't you asking me how my benefits are going? And he was like, when I ask you, I'm scared that it's coming. So, and I was like, yeah, but I don't feel anything. And that was so weird. So I didn't even think about research anymore. I thought like, oh, I'm healed, it's fine. Yeah. And then like, I think...
when we was chatting, right? Oh, it was, yeah, it was probably 6 months ago, I think you brought it up, maybe.
Yes. I'm not using the spiral anymore, but...
your anxiety is like...
A half year ago, I was like, where the hell is my anxiety? Of course, sometimes it's still there, but there are no panic attacks anymore.
And that, you would say, is linked directly to the spiral from your experience, perhaps?
I can't explain anything else than that it's coming from a spiral. And if that's true...
anyone who has a spiral,
10 years, 10 years, I just couldn't eat on holidays.
I remember you came to England one time.
Oh my god, that was
and
one of
you
the
came
worst
for
times.
Dinner at Natalie's house.
Yes,
hi Nat, if you're watching this, we are the bestie in England, and you just couldn't eat anything.
I just couldn't. No, and I think I'm a little more healed now because I'm now fine with just saying I'm not going to eat because I don't feel well.
Just speaking up for your needs,
yes,
and things.
And otherwise I would think like, oh, what would they think?
Yeah.
Do they don't
That's
like
on
me
top
anymore
of
now?
Thank you.
That makes it even worse.
Yeah.
So yeah. Then I was pregnant and we went to Curaçao. I couldn't eat at all because I was never this how do you say sick?
Oh, like from pregnancy sickness, yes. Morning sickness, they call it.
No, day sickness.
Just
all day.
Sickness.
All day sickness.
I remember you had a challenging pregnancy, didn't
yes,
you? Because then what else happened? You had that thing.
Yeah, wait. I first want to say this. I was sick all day, really all day. I couldn't eat anywhere. So we were going to wrestling rooms and I just couldn't take anything. So I just didn't order anything. That was my worst nightmare. Like, don't eating anything in a restaurant because what would people think?
Yeah.
I just healed that holiday because I did what I was
what you
most
needed
scared of.
For you, and nothing happened.
No.
You didn't combust into flames. No one came to you and said,
no.
Why aren't you eating?
Yes.
Yeah.
And when I just didn't eat anything, they were like totally fine.
So face the fear, talking about fear. The fear of something is usually worse than the actual thing itself, isn't it?
Always.
Always.
You are always more anxious before than after.
Than the actual thing happening.
Yes.
Nothing actually happens like you think it will.
Nope. So, and people who are anxious, they always made up the worst.
Yeah, worst case scenario.
It's not always like that. No.
What I want to go two ways here. Can you talk about... the reason I'm looking at the camera right now is because it wasn't until about 6 months or so ago, probably, no, even less than that, where I was like, Lottie, you do realise you had bulimia? And you were like, no, I didn't. All I did was make myself sick after eating. I'm like...
I still don't...
Because,
yeah.
Let's go into that then, because the definition, I mean, I don't like labels, like if someone's struggling, they're struggling. The definition of bulimia is... is purging what you've eaten. Now, I know for you, it wasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, it wasn't to control your body,
no,
was it? It was
no.
more a way of dealing with the anxiety you felt. So there's a fine line. I mean, if we're looking at labels, that is a definition of bulimia. So can you talk about your experience with that and then how you stopped?
One of my colleagues is working at the eating disorder part of where I work, and she always says this too, like, oh, you have bulimia. And I'm just like, nope, it doesn't feel like that for me, but it doesn't matter. I have eating struggles.
And
it started when I was younger. It's like, I think our parents were like from another generation, but when I was younger, I needed to eat my plate, like
finish it before you leave the table, even if
intuitive
you don't actually
eating
want it.
Wasn't happening
no,
then,
unfortunately not.
No one cared. No. I think they cared, but they didn't
that's
know
all they've
anything
probably
else.
Been
yeah,
they've probably been taught that because they might have been rations in the war from their grandparents.
Yes.
So it's like, be grateful and eat everything on your plate.
Yes, and I need to say first, I have the best parents, but at that moment I needed to eat my plate. I just couldn't because I just didn't like my food or something. I don't know. I like everything now, but it's different.
You don't like greens, that's a lie.
Yes.
When she
true.
comes around for dinner, which isn't that often because we usually just eat chocolate together. I can't do greens because she's like, me, you don't want to eat greens.
I just act like I'm not. I just don't eat hungry. It. I just don't eat it.
She's a liar.
I eat greens, but
not the way I eat greens. No. Like 3/4 of the plate.
No, that's fine. But yeah, where was I? Oh yeah, I needed to eat, and I think people were forcing too much when I was at campsite. People were forcing,
like pressuring you,
like really pressuring. So I grew up with the thought of always eat your plate because that's polite. Mm. When we're going to restaurants, it was like, yeah, you need to eat because otherwise it's like
they'll be offended or something.
Yes.
So again, so, I guess that's people pleasing as well, isn't it?
Yeah. And I was anxious going to places. I always was. When I was younger, I couldn't even go play with other children because I was anxious. Because I was anxious of having belly aches, and that's why I didn't eat a lot, because I was anxious of having belly aches. Yeah, and I didn't want to make it worse. I can't even drink a whole glass all at once because I'm anxious of having a belly ache. And I never have that anymore, so that's still a thing. But and then I was bigger, and then I tried to eat everything.
She was also sick because she had a daughter, and you know how that goes when the kids and they're growing up sick. And everyone's always sick.
Yeah.
Just, I've got my protective bubble around me. It's all good.
Okay. And then it happened when my belly was fully filled with food. Then I always felt anxious. And then I think one day my mom just told me like, oh yeah, when you're feeling sick, just put your finger in your throat and you can put everything out. I think because she didn't know what to do with her too. Yeah. I was always sick of food. Always. So after restaurants, I started to make myself feel sick. And when I didn't do that, my panic was worse and worse. So I needed to do it. And I think I did that till when I was 18. Only when I ate too much, when I binge ate, or when I went into the restaurant and ate a lot.
Mm.
And then I met Lionel, my partner, and we went to a restaurant, I noticed, and I went upstairs and I thought like, I need to puke because I always did that. And then I thought like, oh, maybe he hears that. That's a little bit silly, right? So I walked downstairs. I asked him like, am I weird for puking after like going to a restaurant? And he was like, yeah, that's weird. And I was like, oh, and I was 18. So yeah. I went to a psychologist. I was at a psychologist. So the next time I went to the psychologist, I was like, am I weird for doing this? And he was like, yes, that's very weird. That day I stopped.
Wow.
I was like, it was like, I was used to it. That's,
yeah, I mean, when you say weird, we're not saying you're weird. I mean, I'm totally owning the fact I'm weird.
No.
It's not a normal, quote, thing to do.
No,
it's
I think like I don't have another word for it.
Yeah, because exactly.
I'm not having
language barrier.
Yes.
But it's interesting that you weren't even sure if it was a normal thing to do, because it was so normal to you, suggested to you by your mum, who didn't know any different, who was just trying to help you probably. Yeah.
And she didn't know that I always did that because I knew that I was doing something wrong, but I wasn't doing anything about it.
I'm curious, and you might not know the answer to this, but knowing for you, it wasn't linked to trying to control your body, it was linked to anxiety. Why do you think it was only when you had food in your belly that you needed to release?
I looked that up on the internet.
Well, what about
when you ate a lot of body? When you ate a lot of food, your body needs to process. Your heart is starting to
because you're like, it's working, isn't it? It's digesting. Yes.
And it's when you have a panic attack, your heart is like pumping more, like beating harder. And so it makes a connection. When your heart is beating faster, it makes a connection in your mind, like, ooh, this can be a panic attack. Then you get a panic attack. So that happens after, when you get anxious from having a lot of food, your heart is starting racing.
So why was the anxiety from the actual food? That's what I'm interested in. So what was so scary or anxiety provoking about food? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. I don't know if you recognize this, but I sometimes still have this. When someone brings a plate to me in a restaurant or at people's place and it's a lot of food, and I sometimes think like, no, I can't eat at all.
It's
and that makes me anxious.
So what I'm hearing is, I'm linking up the dots, is literally linked to your childhood experience,
yes,
where you were forced to eat something you didn't want to eat. And
yeah,
so,
forced to eat every, like, your plate.
Eat your whole plate when you didn't want to or need to.
And I sometimes still think like, oh, I can't eat this all.
And it's okay.
Because I can't puke, because I don't do that anymore. Yeah. And I don't want to feel anxious too.
But it's also okay to not eat everything that's on your plate. That's so interesting to me. Because, you know, I used to, when I started this work, I would be like, 100% eating disorders are all to do with body image. But that's not true. The better coach I've gotten, the more I've understood, that's actually not the case. Body image is linked to it, can be linked to it. But for you, this prime example had nothing to do necessarily with the size of your body. It was more the anxiety from a childhood of being forced to eat your whole plate. And it just, you created a more perpetual feedback loop of anxiety. And also what I want to say is, with the heart beating, if you eat a lot of sugar, your heart naturally beats faster. Because when I used to have sugar binges, I remember one time, this was the only time I've ever felt this, I was in a seaside resort in England, and it's famous for fudge. You know what fudge is, right? It's famous for fudge. And I remember like spending like, what, £25 on fudge or something and eating all of it in one go. And I remember feeling like I'd never taken drugs. I remember feeling though, like as if I'd was on a high. Like an actual high, because I'd had so much sugar in one go. It felt like I was literally on a cloud on drugs, and my heart was like, and I wasn't anxious. I was just in a massive sugar rush. And I never forget that, because that was a really interesting experience for me to watch and feel physically. This is an annoying little fly. So I think that if you ate sugar, then it might have made your heart beat even faster. That's just really interesting.
Yes. And what I also wanted to say, because I could have had an eating disorder when I was younger. Of course, I had body image problems. Yeah. I think every girl in puberty has that.
Yeah.
I think. Mm. I don't even know. I think a lot of people have that.
I mean, I need to just change my position, but continue. I think I want to say who doesn't, which is really sad, actually.
Yeah. I think that's sad. And I know, thinking about, I can puke very easy. So when I want to lose weight, I can do that. So I tried that for a week, but it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
I'm happy that it didn't work for me.
Me too.
And I think I'm now more happy about my body than ever, because I just had a childbirth and I'm totally fine. My body can just make a child. My body can just push a child out. Why would I be mad at my body for being too fat to...
Well, I want to speak to something. Someone said to you, you were wearing, you told me this, you were wearing like trousers with something tucked in.
Yeah.
And someone said to you, oh, untuck that, because then it hides your belly at the bottom. And what was your response? I loved this.
I said, this was little Mara's house, and it's totally fine if someone sees that, because I'm really proud of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And I don't want to feel bad about someone seeing a little thing
just
around
normal,
my body.
Just a normal body.
Totally fine.
How
do you... Wear whatever you want.
Because I want to speak more about body image in a minute, because another one of the things I love about you, again, it's linked to your confidence, which is interesting, because you perhaps don't see yourself as really confident, do you? Would you describe yourself as confident?
No, I'm also insecure. I think sometimes I'm... With some things I'm confident and some things I'm insecure, I think.
Because the way you dress, the way you hold yourself, the way you are, because I've seen you bigger and smaller, because after Mara, you lost loads of weight because you were breastfeeding.
I did.
And you were really small, but you've always, in my eyes, owned who you are without trying to hide any of who you are. And that's so attractive, the confidence you have. But before we go into that, like, can you speak to the bulimia, which I don't want to label you, but
it's fine,
that experience you had for so long, and then you just stopped it just like that. I think that's really important, because a lot of listeners feel stuck, that they can't stop the pattern. Yeah. How did you just stop that pattern?
I think it sounds very easy to say, I just stopped one day. I stopped puking one day. I told myself, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to use puking to be okay or to feel less anxious. I need to do something about my anxiety, and puking doesn't work against anxiety. That's like I made that up in my mind, And of course it helps taking the food out. And then I might be better for a shorter time or something. I don't know. But
it's that short-term reward, isn't it? You get that instant relief of anxiety relief. But then ultimately, do you want to be a person who's like making herself sick after you've eaten? Yeah.
Nope.
So it was just a decision.
It was a decision to stop puking. But of course, I had a new problem there because I couldn't puke after dinner anymore. So I started to have smaller portions and I started to open up a little bit about it to other people, my boyfriend at that point. And I think we started just for, I could go to restaurants when I wanted to go to restaurants. And my anxiety was really bad at this moment. So I didn't want to go to restaurants at all and didn't want to go eat out at all. The first time when I ate at Lionel's parents, I puked out everything because I was so anxious because I had to eat. And the food was delicious. They are Indonesian. So I ate a lot. And then after that, it happened because I felt so anxious and I couldn't do anything about it. But I think it helped when I recognized what it came from, where it came from. So you sometimes say like you peel something.
Peel back the layers and you understand. And understanding can be healing in and of itself.
Yeah, and I started to open up about it to my friends, to people I went to restaurants with, like, I have anxiety.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to go here. I maybe ate nothing. I maybe eat more, but don't pay attention.
Just kind of leave me.
Just leave me.
I remember you telling me one time when we first started seeing each other, that sounds like a romantic relationship. Maybe it is. It's like not really Lionel, I promise. I remember you sharing that with me and it was like, oh my God, it's totally fine. What can I do to support you? If you if I can do anything to help. And you just said, just ignore it, basically. Yeah. Like, don't pay attention to it. So we're getting a theme here, aren't we? Speaking up, speaking it out, sharing, being vulnerable, being open.
People are so nice if you open up. I think other people open up more if you open up.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to talk about what they are hiding, but they need someone to
go first.
Start. Yeah.
Well, they say a problem shared is a problem halved.
Yes.
I really believe that.
I really believe that too. And I think we opened up very quickly to each other about things.
We did.
But I think that's different to culture and country too, because in Holland people are not that easy.
No, and I remember I told, we say it a lot to each other, but I was always openly saying I love you.
Yeah.
And and you love,
I sometimes still feel awkward.
And it's not the thing that you tend to do with your friends, is it? But we say it to each other all the time.
Nope.
Which is, it's not right or wrong, but it just goes to show.
I think it's very beautiful to tell someone you love him. But
I am
who knows, but no, I think it's very beautiful to do that. But I think I've seen it online. There are different ways to say I love you to people, and I wasn't used to say I love you. I was used to say, oh, you are a good person, or you are, I like you the way you are, but not to say
really. Directly.
No, that's so direct to say I love you.
Yeah, it's beautiful though, because I remember one time in the cinema we went and you just said, I love you, Vic. And I was like, oh, I love you too. And we had a little hug and it's just so...
You teach me to do that.
You taught me.
Here we go again.
Yeah, but you didn't say learned. No. So you half got it right.
I was scared that I needed to say learned instead of
teach. Do we even care? No. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I would like to go into, because we've got... Wow, we've only got 10 minutes left for the whole hour. It's gone quick. Body image and body acceptance. You spoke a little bit about it, but can we delve into, I guess, the how? So you've explained that you're just so grateful for your body to create and give birth to Mara. Is there anything else that has helped you to just accept who you are and your body in the world we live in, where thinner is better and all that bullshit?
Yeah, I think that's a life process. Like, I'm not at a point where I say, oh, I always accept myself for everything. menstruation cycle is a thing there too.
Yeah.
I'm 4 days before my menstruation now, and I'm looking to myself in the laptop before we started.
She was like, wait, my eyebrows aren't level. And I'm like, yeah, our faces, she's not used to seeing herself on video.
No.
But I was like, look, this is the opposite of the podcast. Just sit down and we'll press record. And she was like, okay.
I felt like auditioning for Idols or something. Like, oh, hi, I'm Lucy and I'm singing. Yeah.
It is weird to begin with, but it's fine now.
Yes. I think body image is a life process thing, but I really believe in saying helping things to yourself. And I know you work with that too, because you told me like the post-its on the mirror and things.
And stuff.
Yeah, I sometimes think about you when I look in the mirror, like, oh yeah, I need to be proud of myself, and I can be proud of myself and who I am and who I look like.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the best things that helped me. Like
the way you talk to yourself in your own head.
Yeah, and the way you look at yourself in the mirror. You can look at yourself in the mirror and you can say, oh, I don't like this. I don't like my belly because it's too big. I don't like my legs because they are too big. Or you can say, oh, yeah, my belly helped me like growing a child. So I love my belly, or make something up for yourself.
Yeah.
But my legs are helping me walking. I love my legs. I'm happy for that.
Just being gratitude for your body. So your hair, like if you're not watching, in fact, I will put this as a video on a podcast. But if you look at Lottie's gorgeous curly hair, which is ironic because people who have curly hair want straight hair.
Yes.
And people who have straight hair want curly hair.
We love each other's hair.
We love each other's hair. And we always want what we don't have, apparently.
Yes.
But I think I think age helps as well. I mean, I'm 36 now. And obviously I've been through my own journey with eating disorder recovery. And I think age is a part of it.
Yes. But
there comes a point, it came a point for me, and we spoke about this before we even started the podcast. I think we spoke about this, where I was like, you know, when you just don't give a shit what people think of you anymore, it's so freeing because who actually cares? Even if they were judging you, number one, you won't know unless they actually say something to you.
Yeah.
And why does it matter?
No, it doesn't. For example, you told me like, oh, you were dancing on the boat in Egypt.
That was it.
And you were like, I don't give a fuck. I sometimes tell my clients and tell myself, like, for example, I was there too. And I was a person that doesn't know you. And I was seeing you like, oh, she's doing weird. Oh, she's acting weird. I wouldn't even think that. I would think like, oh, she's good. She's amazing. But it's fine because women support women.
Exactly.
And I would go to sleep. And the next day, I wouldn't even think about you anymore because you were just a person walking by in my life.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you dance and do your thing? Because I'm just one person that walks through your life and don't ever think about you as...
It's so true,
because
isn't
I don't even know you, so why would you care?
In the nicest possible way, you don't even care about me, a stranger on the boat.
People don't care how other people act.
No, and so if we're living our lives worried and keeping ourselves small and stopping ourselves from doing what we truly authentically want to do because of fear of judgment, it's literally wasting our life, I think.
It is.
For what? Because if someone judges you, then what?
Yeah.
I remember one of my first therapists said to me, and this really stuck to me, and I couldn't give her an answer. So I was massively anxious about going to a work party because I'd gained weight, because I was binge eating, and I was so petrified of having to go and wearing a dress and what people would think of me. And she said to me, because normally when you speak to family members who aren't qualified to support people through this, they would say stuff like, oh, you're not fat. No, you've not put weight on. Yeah. You look beautiful. So they're trying to help, but they're basically saying what they think you want to hear.
That's true.
Whereas a therapist said, okay, so let's say you go to the party, you wear the dress, you don't think you look great. Let's say someone else or other people don't think you look great. Yeah. Then what will happen? And then I was like, well, I'd feel awful. And she was like,
yeah.
And then what would happen? And I was like,
nothing.
And my mind was constantly searching for something, almost like I was going to die.
Yes.
Obviously, I knew I wouldn't die, but it was that painful emotion. I thought I was going to die, but then I didn't say it because obviously I'm not going to die.
Nope.
But it was that panic of like, if someone doesn't accept me, or if someone doesn't lust after me, because my self-worth was completely attached to my appearance, it was like feeling like I was dying. But just the question alone, and then what? And nothing would happen.
No.
So just asking questions can be really beneficial.
That's one of the best questions. And then, and then, and then, for everything that's so, so scary. Till you get to the end. And the end is always like, you need to live through it.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it?
Because and you need to accept that it is like it is.
Yeah. Okay, time. Okay, so what shall we end on? Is there anything that we've not spoke about that you perhaps want to say?
Yes. I thought about this because you said, like, going to the party, what would people think? But I think women need to stop to comment about people's weight.
Like, yes.
Oh, did you lose weight? Oh, it looks so good on you. People are always telling other people, like, oh, that person gained weight. Oh,
yeah,
that
like person lost weight. Yeah, like, it's a really important thing to talk about.
Because it's not even, why would you say that?
Yeah, because we've been conditioned to say it, that's why. Yes.
You don't even say, like, oh, her hair is growing so long. Do you know Sandra? Her hair is very long. You don't say that too, that's right? So why would you comment on people their weight? Yes. And why do we look at other people's weight all the time? Stop doing that and stop asking people, like, did you lose weight? Did you gain weight?
Even to try and be, quote, nice.
Yeah, it's not even nice to ask someone. If someone asks me, like, did you lose weight? I'm like, did I need to lose weight then? I'm just fine. Like,
exactly. No. I think that's a really key point. Unfortunately, we're conditioned to do that, but we get to change it. Yes. I don't comment on people's weight anymore. And the world I've created, apart from my mom, if you're listening, mom, I love you. She still comments on, your legs look thin. Because I've always had big legs. And it literally just washes over me. Like, it doesn't affect me emotionally in any way, shape, or form.
No, I think she wants to be nice.
She's trying to be nice. But the only way a lot of people know how is by commenting on our appearance. And that has got to stop. Because our appearance is the least interesting thing about us.
Yes.
I mean, yes, we can appreciate beauty the way we can appreciate, you can see in the, oh my God, it's always wonky here. You can see on the video that all those little lights, they're actually on that wall over there. They're so pretty. You can appreciate the beauty of things and of people even, but it's what we're making it mean. Just because I think you're beautiful, does that mean you're a better person than someone who I don't think is as beautiful? Only if I make it mean that.
Nope. So, yes. Yeah, and what do we want people to say to each other? Because that's a good thing to help with, I think. What do you want to hear?
Well, you know what I heard the other day, and it literally filled my heart so much. I can't even remember who said it, which is quite ironic. She said to me, you're so kind and you're so generous and you've just got such a big heart. And that means so much to me than, wow, you're so beautiful, which I get the person saying that is trying to be nice. And I remember one time I was in England and a guy I walked past, he said to me, he stopped and he went, whoa, well done. You're gorgeous. And I was like, well done for being born with genetics from my mum and my dad and just looking like this.
Looking like
what
I
is
am.
It I've actually done? What, and it just baffled me.
Yeah, I understand.
Because beauty is so praised and it's fucked up.
I think there can't be a bigger compliment than people complimenting you from
the
who you are.
How you make them feel.
Yes.
Like, I always feel like with you, if I was complimenting you on how you made me feel, I would genuinely say from the heart, you always make me feel warm and safe and like I can just be fully myself.
Yes.
And I just feel so safe to be vulnerable, which is better, in my opinion, than, did you lose weight? Your boobs look good. Which they always do, let's be real.
Yours do too. Yes, right. I think you taught me how to open up more about feelings, because we always have this kind of conversations. And I think that's what I appreciate from you. You always be here vulnerable, like how you are. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I can be who I am too. And you are totally fine. And you open up to me if you feel something, and I think I need to speak up more to other persons.
to be the leader, perhaps let them be then vulnerable.
Yes, because I always let other people speak about themselves. I do that in my job too.
Yes, exactly.
But I need to open up too.
If you want to.
Yeah, to people I love.
But I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
Because you're right, when we don't need permission slips, but when someone does something that we internally want to do, if someone goes first, like dancing on the dance floor, for example, it gives permission for people to do the same, but someone has to go first.
Yes. So I love to go first.
I love to go first too.
It feels cheeky.
It feels cheeky. It feels courageous. Courage is one of my top values. And also it is easier for me because it is just part of who I am, naturally an open book. Like I will speak to a stranger on the train and tell them about my menstrual cycle. I'm not bothered. One of my friends said to me the other day, she said, "You are so unabashed." I don't know if you've heard that word. It's not common. She said, "You're so unabashed," and I love it. Unabashed means you basically don't give a shit and you go vulnerable and you go deep and you have no recognition of the awkwardness of someone receiving what you just said.
Yeah.
But it's very innocent in a way, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So, I think that has to do with your bubbliness too. You are just like, "Hey, here I am.
Here I am. That's just a song.
Take me how I am.
Bryan Adams. Here I am. This is me. Blah, 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 blah. I'd rather be.
I think I recognize that song.
I can't sing very well, but you can. Lottie can sing.
I'm not going to sing.
And she plays the piano, don't you?
We talked about the idol sing. I'm not going to do idols.
She sings really good. Way better than me. But we need to wrap up. But
yeah,
I've loved our little chat.
Are you always doing an hour?
Yeah, an hour. Okay. If I'm by myself, I usually do about half an hour.
Thank you if you stayed for the whole hour.
Yeah, thank you if you stayed the whole hour. It's a bit of a different episode, but I want you to meet Lottie. We spend most Friday night, well, if I'm not traveling, which I'm either doing something here, we spend most Friday nights together, and the chocolate's over there, so I can't actually show you, but at least one of us brings chocolate.
Yep.
We've got chocolate. Hold on, I need to show you this paper noten. This is a Dutch thing.
Oh, I love it.
Paper noten. Right, I'm saying it right.
Yeah, you're saying it right.
And it's like, basically, it's like a...
What is inside? What do you...
It's a cinnamon cookie.
Yeah.
Cinnamon biscuit, but these have got chocolate.
Yeah, but it's not too much cinnamon, I think.
A tiny, like a spiced biscuit. Oh, this is a good one.
This is like a burger.
This is a chocolate.
This is our paper note look.
Yeah, I picked the lucky one, the double one.
Yep.
So after this call, we're going to just eat this and we have chocolate. Yep. But we have really nice Friday nights. We chat about these types of things. We go to the cinema. We need to book the cinema.
We're going to the sauna in a couple of weeks.
We're going to the naked sauna.
Naked.
Yep. In Holland, they're obsessed with being naked. We go to like a whole spa, like the steam rooms, saunas, like loads of different things. And you're completely naked with men and everything.
When was the first time you went
to the naked sauna? The first time you took me to the naked sauna.
Was it or? Oh, I know.
And I was very nervous about it. Can you remember? You were. I was a bit like, this does not feel okay.
I think you even... maybe send me a nude picture of you like
before. This is what you're gonna see. I just feel more comfortable showing you.
No, I found that back on my phone. Like, why am I having a naked woman on my phone? And I was like, it was
I remember.
And I deleted that because I was scared of sending it to someone. I would never do that, of course.
But yeah, naked spa is a good thing for your body image, trust me.
Yeah.
And then we will wrap up in a minute. But remember that guy we were chatting to? And we went into the ice room and I was like, oh, fuck, he's also coming in the ice room. This is so fucking awkward because we're blatantly all naked.
It was.
And I was like sat there with my towel and I was like, oh, yeah, it's cold. And I was like, he wishes I'd take my frigging towel off. I'm not doing it.
No. But you were just bubbly chatting with other men.
That's the problem with me. Yeah. Wouter, my husband, also knows this is exactly what I do. I'm no different with him, with Lottie, by myself. I'm so open and kind. I need to be careful because men take it the wrong way and decide that I'm hitting on them. So what I do now is I say, I'm not hitting on you or anything. I have a husband. I'm very much in love. And then I go into a conversation. Then
talk. Yeah, that's good.
Then I talk. I prep beforehand.
That's where we're different, I think. I'm more scared of talking to other men or
What are you?
Because I'm scared of that they think that I would hit on them or something.
You just have to lay it. I've learned just lay it out. And yeah. They still try though. That's the fucked up thing. What was it? I can't remember what it was. In Egypt, I think, the guy in the gym, who took your room number every time. And I told him then, it wasn't Egypt, I'm lying. It was somewhere where someone knew I was married, they knew I was happy, and they asked for my number. So then I was like, what? What is wrong with you?
He could still try. Oh, I still want to end with one thing.
Okay, go.
When we first started our podcast, I thought about, what do I want to share? We were talking about menstruation cycle, and I talked about, like, I want to break up the week before. That's always because I think, like, I need more attention or something. Yeah. Do you recognize that?
Yeah.
You need more attention, like, the week before.
Can I have a hug?
Yeah. Hello, like, do you see me?
Put your arm, I'm like, stroke my hair, stroke my arm. And it's about as like, oh my God, you're so needy. I'm like, yes, give me what I need.
And that's what I wanted to share. You need to tell what you need in the week before. Lionel told me, my boyfriend asked me, like, really, what do you need? Aww. Because I need to know, and then I can give it to you.
That's really sweet.
Men don't know. They just don't know how we feel. They just can't feel what we're going through because they don't have menstruation.
And it's up to us to communicate that. That is so key. Instead of doing what typical women do that I used to do, when they say, are you okay? And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally
fine. Are you fine? Fine. And you're thinking, read my fucking mind. Yes. Know that I'm not okay.
They
and know
don't
that I
read
need
your mind.
this, and this. That's not fair.
Nope.
So communicate your needs. And I do say to Wouter, I need extra hugs. I would like you to do dinner this week. And can you walk Hero?
Yes.
And just communicate your needs. So I'm so glad you put that
in. And ask Beck if they need something from her too. Because
go both ways.
Awesome. Yeah.
Gosh, you see why I love her, can't you?
So I think the key thing from all of this is communication.
Communication, acceptance, self-love. I guess it points to that.
Yes.
And talking and sharing and being vulnerable. I think that's the theme.
Yeah.
Communication and talking about
And that makes you a very beautiful person, I think, if you share.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. If you have any feedback, can I link your...
No! Don't link me!
She's got a fake TikTok account. She actually... She's called Lisa. I won't link her if she doesn't want me to link her.
Nope.
No, she doesn't. She wants to be anonymous, but you'll probably see me when I tag her in chocolate things. Anyway, we need to go to Tony's Chocolate.
Just stalk me, but I won't follow people.
So if you did like this episode, on a serious note, please let me know, because I will be at the end of my DMs. And I wish all of you a friendship as beautiful as what we have.
And thank you for having me in your podcast. It was an honor to me. At first, I didn't want to.
Yeah, she was a bit freaking out. To be H.
But I feel good.
You enjoyed it?
I think it's a very beautiful message that we give to people. And that's the most common thing. And it doesn't matter what I look like, how my English is like.
I love your accent. Let me know if you love her accent or not. Because I do. It's really cute. I love it. It's better than my husband's, I'm not going to lie. I love you, Wouter, but you've still got a really strong Germany weird, like, Dutch accent, hasn't he? Don't you think his accent is really strong?
It's very Dutch.
It's very Dutch.
But I think he's scared of, like, speaking posh English.
Well, he can't be asked to change himself now. So every time he says something and I lovingly correct him, he just kind of rolls his eyes at me. And I'm like, all right, you can say it backwards. I don't care.
Are you saying goodbye thing to this?
Or... I'm saying goodbye. I'm trying, but I keep talking. Anyway, again, thank you. I love you all. I will see you next week. Any questions, let me know. If you resonated, tag me in your story. Don't tag her because I'm not going to put her in there because she wants to be anonymous. And love you all lots.
Mwah. Bye.
Bye.